Look at somebody and say, I feel a breakthrough coming your way. Tell them it's a mighty move of God and it's going to change your day. Come on, clap your hands right there. Goes like this. It's a mighty move of God. It's gonna change your day. With signs and wonders, miracles to perform. God is gonna bless you, but just holding on.
I feel a breakthrough coming your way.
It's a mighty move of God.
It's a mighty move of God. Gonna change your day.
With signs and wonders.
Miracles.
God's gonna bless you.
God's gonna bless you.
Just hold on.
Just hold on.
Come on, baby.
Just hold on. Change is coming.
Oh, I
feel it in the air. In the atmosphere. Just hold on. Change is coming.
Oh, move of God.
The move of God is on the way.
Come on, say it. I see it.
Coming your way.
It's a mighty move of God. Gonna change your day. With signs and wonders. Miracles. God's gonna bless you.
Yes, God is gonna bless you. A move of God is on the way. Friends, neighbors, brothers and sisters, you are listening to the Gospel Miracle Healing Hour. It's Thursday morning, Wednesday night, whenever it is you listen to this program. The move of God is on the way. So hold still and be ready to receive it. Have mercy. This is Dr. Gregory Scott welcoming you once again to Glory United Ministries program. Service. Celebration. Have mercy.
All things are possible to them that believe. Come on, you say.
You've been expecting,
yeah.
Changing your life.
Looking for your midnight.
Looking for your midnight.
Turn to sunshine.
Turn to sunshine.
Now it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
You wait.
You wait and see.
All things
are possible.
Oh, yeah.
The move of God is on the way.
Yes, this is Walter Hawkins. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Have mercy. Yes. line listening. Dr. Scott can see your number, and he knows how many are listening. He can go back and see how many have gone into the archives, and we are praying for you, you and you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to say thank you. We just want to say thank you for life, health, and strength. We want to say thank you because in you we live, we move, and we have our being. We thank you because you are Savior, you are Lord, and you are God. We thank you that there is none like thee. No one else can touch us the way that you do. You've touched us with the finger of love. The blood is yet running warm in our veins, and we're not dead. We're yet alive, and we just want to say thank you. Oh, for a thousand tongues. If I had them, I couldn't thank you enough. God, we thank you for being God, for your mercy and for your grace and for your loving kindness. Oh, we thank you that you have chosen us. It wasn't us who chose you, but you chose us, and we want to say thank you. God, if there's any, and I know that there are sick among us, we ask that you would touch them, give them strength in their body. God, allow the medication that they're on to be successful in their life. If it's to lower the blood pressure, let it be so. If it's to lower the sugar, let it be so. God, if it's to raise the levels, let it do whatever it is supposed to do. In Jesus' name, we give your name the glory and the honor, and the church say amen. I'd like to say to you this afternoon, I have my daily bread book, and it's from 2013, but you don't throw them away because you can always go back and look into the book and you can find something. And even if you did it before, when you do it again, it's just not the same. And I'm looking at this one that says fresh fruit. It caught my eye, and it talks about Psalms 92, and it's saying that in Psalms 92, verse 12 and 14, the righteous shall still bear fruit in old age. So you can read that for yourself and ask God to open up the eye of your understanding, the ear that you can hear what the Spirit is saying unto you through God's word. For his word is and should be our daily bread. For the disciples said, give us this day our daily bread. And he is the bread of life. So we should want every day more of Jesus. My pastor sang a song, more about Jesus and his throne, more of his grace to others shown, more of his saving fullness, see, more of his love who died for me, more about Jesus and his throne. Yes, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness, see, more, God, of his love who died for me. And he died, and he rose for me. And you can make it personal yourself. He died for me, and he rose for me. Take it to yourself. Make me be you, because my me is me. And let your me be you. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness, see, more of his love who died for me. I am so grateful. I am so grateful that I have Christ in my life. Where would I be without him? It would be so very dark, so very dark and drear. But I am grateful, I'm truly grateful that I have Christ, and he's in my life. And you can say the same thing if you have surrendered your life unto Christ. You can say, I am grateful. I'm truly grateful that I have Christ and He is in my life. Oh, I feel Jesus in this place. I feel the presence of God in my house. You know, Joshua, if you read in Joshua, he said, as but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I don't know what your house consists of, but I know my house consists of me, myself, and I. I cannot make you. I can't make my son. I can't make my daughter. I can't make my niece or my nephews or my cousins or my neighbors or my friends or my coworkers. I can't make anyone serve the Lord. But I can speak boldly for myself because the choice is mine. As for me, or but for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. It's not about you, you or you, because it's a personal thing. Every man, boy, girl, woman, whatever, must work out his or her own O-W-N soul salvation. So as for me and my house, and I would hope that those around me would want to serve the same God that I am serving. But if they choose not to serve the true and living God, God has one, and that's me, that will stand and say, but God, as for me, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to lean and depend on you. I'm going to have faith in you. I'm going to obey your voice. I will serve the Lord. Oh, God, it is so good to just talk to you this evening. Some of you will hear it tomorrow, which is Thursday, but it's just my pleasure to be with you again. I tell you, it's almost 3 years. We're coming up on our anniversary, and we're going to be announcing that if this ministry is being a blessing to you, we have a third anniversary coming, and you can give as low as 3 cents to 3 million. And if you choose to send 3 cents to Glory United Ministry, God bless you, and we will pray over it and tell the Lord thank you. If you choose to send $3, 30 cents, whatever to do with the three, 33 cents, it doesn't matter. If you want to send 300, we will tell the Lord thank you, and we will thank you as well. For our third anniversary is October the 4th Sunday. Is when I began this journey on Blog Talk Radio. Now let me get back to my daily bread. And I read that righteous shall still bear fruit in old age. But let me go down here. Let me skip over some of this writing. And I want to go to the very end where the writer is talking. And she says, I recently saw a t-shirt on a beautiful white-haired woman that said, I'm not 80, I'm 18 with 62 years experience. No matter how old we get, we can still be young at heart, but with the benefits of a well-lived lifetime of knowledge and wisdom. And it also says we can be young in heart and mind to others. We can yet be kind, sing songs of praises to God through tears, and grow in grace through all our years. Faithfulness is God's requirement. Faithfulness is His reward. I tell you, when I was glimpsing through my Bible and this fell out, and I saw this, and I said, okay, I will read this because someone will need those little encouraging words that I just read. But remember, Psalms 92, the righteous shall bear fruit in old age. So just because we're all growing a little bit, and many things we encounter as we go from one decade to the next, doesn't feel good. Some of us don't like the bags under our eyes, and some of us don't like our turkey necks and whatever, but we're yet able to bear fruit. We're yet able to speak a kind word to someone. We're yet able to show and do a good deed. And that's what a righteous person is all about. Never stop loving. Never stop caring. Never stop giving. I don't care how wrinkled your neck is or how thick the bags are under your eyes. You can still love someone, and someone can love you back. In spite of we don't look so pretty anymore. We don't look like we did when we were 17. We don't even move like we did when we were 17. We don't even have the shape we had when we were 17. But we're still here, and we still know how to love. The love that's inside of me have not aged. It has not gotten rusty, nor has it gotten wrinkled, nor has it got puffed up. It is still genuine, and it is pure. So love ye one another. That's what the Lord said. I'm going into a book tonight, and I'm not going to be with you long. And I'd like to thank Dr. Scott, my associate, for being with me and bearing with me. And let me just say it like this. This will make him happy. Taking orders from me. Sometimes it's hard to take orders from a woman that has a strong mind. Oh, bless his name. Ah, God, we thank you. Now, as I was reading in the book of Deuteronomy, and I went to that 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, and it says in my Bible here, it's not the King James, it's my New Spirit-filled Bible, and it was given to me on my 50th birthday, so I've had it now for 11 years. And so it does read a little different than my King James, but it is still the Word of God. And it says, remember the Lord your God. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Now, you know, my father was not a Jew. You know, my father was not an Egyptian or any of those. He wasn't Roman and none of that. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been adopted into the family. And we know Jesus was and is a Jew. So therefore, we Gentiles have been brought in to the promise through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank God for him shedding his blood. But Moses is talking to the children before we arrive in the flesh. And he's telling them to go in and possess what God has promised you. And he wanted you not to become heady and high-minded and forget God. And that has happened. I've seen it happen. I've seen people have nothing, and all of a sudden they rise to fortune and fame, and they forget their God. When I watch those award shows on television, and some of our singers, movie stars, actresses, and whatever is receiving their award, and I applaud those that get up and say, first, I like to thank God, and then my producer or my sponsor or my manager, whatever, but they give God his due benevolence. We should never forget God. I don't care how high you go, never forget him. I don't care how low you go, never forget him. Dr. Scott plays a song, and the woman is singing, how do you find God? But one way that you find him is not forgetting who he is. Not forgetting that the sun rises and it sets. Not forgetting that the clouds are in the sky. Not forgetting that the stars shine at night. Not forgetting somebody did this, but not you. It wasn't done by the hand of man. It was done by the mouth of God, because God spoke the word, say, in Genesis. And when God spoke, he said, let there be. And therefore, whatever he commanded to be, it came to be. It wasn't, it was the hand of God. He spoke out of his mouth. And his mouth performed what he spoke. He told it to let there be water. Water came. I don't know a man that can stand and do that. Yes, we have technology. Because of technology, I'm in New York, Dr. Scott's in Delaware, and we're on Blog Talk Radio, and you are wherever you are, and you're able to listen. Technology, we thank God for it, but technology is not greater than the Creator. Moses is reminding them that because God has blessed you and you're not in the land of suffering, he has brought you out, but you must not forget God. And that's what happened in America today. We seem to have lost our first love, which is God. We have a symbol of God on our finances. It says, in God we trust, but we really don't trust in God by the way we say what we say and by the way we do what we do. We don't want you to mention God's name. We don't want you to talk about if God deem it to be so. I used to hear the old folks say, it be the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise. We don't want you to say things like that anymore. We have arrived. We have money now. We have food, and we are living in the land of plenty. We are living in the land of much. So therefore, don't mention God. Just enjoy the luxury. Just enjoy what he has put here. I don't know too many folks that don't, this time of the year, that don't enjoy God, but they enjoy the beach. The beach is crowded where I live. That's what attracts the people here, is the ocean and the beaches. But I don't care. While they're walking through the sand that God put there, they better remember that they had nothing to do with it, that it came from God, and don't forget God. Oh, my God, I tell you, I'm just so excited about remembering where I come from, and that I shall not, and I shall not forget God. Let's read the word of God. And see, God said, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And verse number two says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, led you all the way, those 40 years in the wilderness to humble you. God has allowed some things to come our way so that we can keep our head on straight, that we don't get the big head and think that we are God. See, that's the problem that the devil has. He thought that he was God. He thought that he was just as great as God. Yes, he had power, but he still didn't have all power. Yes, the devil is mighty, but he's not almighty. So therefore, the two of them could not reign in the same place. So God put the devil out and said, but you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to show you that they're not all going to bow down and worship you. Oh, you'll get some of them, but you will not get them all. I tell you, I love the word of God. And it says to humble you and test you to see if you would trust God when all you had, you didn't have your steak on Thursday, your spaghetti on Wednesday, your chicken on Sunday, your fish on Friday, the leftover on Monday. You didn't have that. All they had was what God gave them, and that was manna from heaven. And guess what? They couldn't even store that. That even disappeared after breakfast. Oh, God is so real. But will you trust God in the wilderness? Will you forget who God is? Will you forget him and think that he is not able to bring you through? Yes, I know the storms are rising, and I know the winds are blowing seemingly against you. All odds seem to be against God. It doesn't seem like God. We get in some circumstances, situations come our way, and my God, we feel like, where, as the songwriter said, tell me, how do you find God? Tell me, how do I find God in the wilderness when I'm going around in circles? Tell me, how can I find God when my finances have disappeared? Tell me, how can I find God when my child is in trouble? Tell me, how can I find God when my son has been shot to death? Tell me, where is God when my daughter has been molested and she's only 2.5 years old? Where do I find God in my wilderness? Oh, but you got to still trust him while you're in your wilderness. Yes, these things did happen, but God is making you better than you were before you went in the wilderness. But you got to stand there so that you can get what you need, so that when you come out, you're equipped to go on. That devil will never be able to put you in the wilderness again. But you got to pass the test by humbling yourself and bless God, no matter what it looked like. No, I tell you, I'm going through something right now, and it almost is impossible, I, the preacher, to see God in this. Even on last night, I sat on the side of my bed and said, God, where are you in this? Because I can't see my way out of this. And I'm saying, God, where are you now? I need you now. Where are you, God? I won't forget you. I haven't forgotten you. But tell me why, God, where are you? When are you coming to my rescue? God, I feel like I'm so far from you. Not only do I feel like I'm so far from you, but I feel like, God, that you are so far from me. I feel like I'm in my wilderness, and I want to come out, but you're not bringing me out. I can't walk out because the test won't be completed. The only way the test can be completed is that the longer I stay, the more I become humble in your presence. That's why the Lord said once, the song, I won't complain. And he said, the people that's singing, I won't complain, they complain the most. So he said, examine yourself before you sing that song. And it was years before I attempted to sing the song, because I'm saying, I can sing a lie as well as tell a lie. And yes, I know now that I've had some good days, even in the wilderness. And I had hills to climb in the wilderness. I've had weary days in the wilderness, and I had sleepless nights in the wilderness. But when I look around, I didn't starve to death. He gave me what I needed in the wilderness. I wasn't thirsty. He gave me drink while I was in the wilderness. All I needed to do while I was in the wilderness was take my eyes off of the situation and put it on the Lord. And the moment that we take our eyes off of the situation or the circumstances, then God gets the glory and we get the victory. I could really end it right there, but I'm going to go on just a little bit more if it's all right. I have a little bit time left, and I just want to read the Word of God, because not only am I reading this Word to you, but I'm reading it to myself as well. We preachers are not exempted. We go through things. My pastor testified last night of how she had to live in the back of her church for 11 years and still come out smiling as if everything was all right, to take a shower that we take for granted, get up every morning and just go turn the water on and shower and smell fresh, get out, wash our hair, whatever we need to do in the shower. But she had to take a hotel room to take a shower. And you know, that costs money, just a shower. Things that we just figured, well, hey, it's just a shower. But to her, it was a precious gem to be able to get a shower. Now God has blessed her with a townhouse that she has two bathrooms. Oh, bless his name. The thing that she was lacking, he gave her two of. Lord, I thank you. She didn't forget God. She did not forget to possess the land that God had promised. That's how she made it. She held on to the promise of God. And when the promise was fulfilled, she walked into her wealthy place. Let's read the Word of God. I don't feel like hooping and carrying on tonight. I just want to speak to someone other than myself. Now let's read this third verse. So he humbled you, allowing you to hunger and feed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Now, listen to this. God is letting you know that you are absolutely nothing without him. I told you in the beginning that it was his word that he spake out of his mouth that form the seas, that forms the heavens and the earth, that when he spoke you out in existence, he said, let us make man. Everything, the fish, everything, God spoke it out of his mouth. And while these were in the wilderness, and while you're in your wilderness, while I am in my wilderness, it is by the word that God speaks over my life, and the way that I speak unto God with respect for who he is, and knowing that he has all power to bring me out in due season. Oh, God, I just love your word. And I want you all to read this 8th chapter of Deuteronomy and just get the meat out of it, what you need. And I'm going to skip over and let you read. Now, let's go to the 4th verse. Because there's some good pickings here. It really is. And it says, your garments, listen to this. Your garments did not wear out. on you. In other words, he preserved everything about you while you were in that wilderness. Yes, for 40, you went around and around and you stayed in the wilderness, I believe, for 40 years. You never aged. If you went in the wilderness at 69, after 40 years, you came out at 69. God preserved you in the wilderness. You did not have a birthday. You remained who you were. When you went in, if your hair was long, you came out, it was still long. If you went in and your head was bald, you came out with a bald head. You went in at 9, you came out after 40 years, you were still not. God is so good. He preserved the clothes that you had on. I don't see recorded anywhere. I know it says he gave you manna. I saw that. But I don't see where you had a washing machine and a dryer to wash your clothes or an iron. But it said God preserved your clothes. We're going to start trusting him for who he is. We're not going to be double-minded and say, oh, I know God is going to fix that for me. I know God is took care of that for me already. And because it's not moving quick enough for you, then you start backing off and saying, well, I have to do this and I have to do that. Either you're going to trust God or you're not. It's just as simple as that. No matter, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Well, no matter what it looked like to Job, I'm still going to trust God. I'm better off trusting God in death than not trusting God and try to remain alive. I'm telling you, let's just read this. It said, the fourth verse, your garments did not wear out on you. My God in heaven. Your clothes even stayed clean, stayed fresh. Ooh, Lord, look out. Nor did your foot swell. Look at this. Nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You, this is verse 5, you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chasteneth you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. My God in heaven, look at the reward. Look at the reward. After you suffered, you reigned. Look at the reward of being in the wilderness for 40 years. He kept your clothes. Your garments didn't fade, didn't wrinkle, didn't smell. And then he said, I didn't even allow your foot to swell. And many of us are walking around here now with a swollen ankle or your feet are puffed up. And you got to take all kind of medicine to try to get it down. You got to wear compression socks and all of that. And that's just for a day. These folk were in the wilderness 40 years, and God would not even let their feet swell. Woo! And then you have the audacity to forget God when he blesses you, when he brings you into your land of good, and you want to dismiss him? You don't need him now? Well, if you never needed the Lord, you sure do need him now. Let's read the book. I'm excited about Jesus. How about you? My God, let's read this some more. That's verse number 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills. 8, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olives, oil and honey. Olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread, in which you will lack nothing. Look out. Where God brings you to after you are 40 years like this. My wilderness is not like this. But after I've been in my wilderness and I've passed the test by still remembering who God is, oh, look at the reward that He's heaping upon me. Oh, God, every pain, every ache, the sufferings that I went through in the wilderness that I thought was so unbearable, but when God brings me into the land of good, I will forget all of the pain of my wilderness, and I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praises shall be in my mouth. I will bless God for who He is in my life. That's why Joshua said, but if all of y'all backslide, if all of y'all go a whoring after other gods, if you turn away from the God of the universe, God asks for me, I will serve you no matter what may be the test. Oh, I love Jesus tonight. How about you? I have a few more moments. I just get excited over the word of God in a land which you will eat bread. Lord, I thank you. Nothing. You will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. If God has given you anything, you need to bless Him. You don't need to take credit for it. Well, it was my credit score that got me this house. It was my credit score that got me this car. It was my own mind where I was smart enough to pass everything, and it got me this scholarship. You better thank God for the good land that He has put under your feet, whether it be your house, your car, or your education. It could be where you're barren and desire a child, and God suddenly make that seed happen within you, and that child grows in you. This is for a woman, not a man. And that child grows in you. You better bless God. Yes, they may have to artificially inseminate you. Well, maybe they did. Or maybe it was somebody else that you connected with, and the sperm connected, and here comes the baby. But still, it was not you. It was God. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Let's go to verse 11. I think I'm going to jump over something in a few minutes. I'm just excited about the word. I'm sorry if I'm not stomping and raving and whatever, because Jesus says, sit them down and feed them. Some of you need to hear the word. You've heard enough yelling and screaming, and you've heard preachers ramming up, and then you walk out and your net was empty. But I want to put the fish in your net so that you will remember who God is and where God has brought you from. Last night on our prayer line, we had a lady to call in and said, I'm atheist. I don't believe in God, but for some reason I listened. I followed you on Facebook, and now I'm on Blog Talk with you, and I just need you to see if you can help me. In other words, she was like the songwriter that said, tell me how do I find God. She was crying out from an atheist mind, saying, I know that there is someone better than nothing. I know that nothing didn't create the sun. I know nothing didn't give me the day. I know nothing didn't make a tree. I know nothing didn't put the water here. Help me, somebody, to find God. Somebody said, I searched the highest mountain and I went down to the lowest valley and I searched all over but couldn't find nobody. Nobody great. Nobody greater than you. That was the someone who found God. It's because he said, I searched all over and I found nobody greater than you, God. I was looking for someone or something greater than you. I tried crack cocaine. I tried the marijuana. I tried the alcohol. I tried the wine. I tried bisexual sex. I laid with men and I laid with women, but I couldn't find nothing to fill the void in my life until I found you. So he said, I searched all over. Now, I'm not saying this man did this. Please do not sue me and tell him, listen to this, and I said he did all these things. I'm just using these things because somebody has done this. And but they was looking for God. As who wrote the song, looking for love in the wrong places. But that man said, I searched all over, but I couldn't find nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. And he was talking about the Lord. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgment, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when ye have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget, oh my God, the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which way fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land were there. Was no water, who brought water for you out of the rock. God smote the rock and gave them water. My God in heaven, look at my God, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Let's go to verse 17, and we're reading this in the entirety. Then, listen to this, 17, then you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he, listen, verse 18, for it is he, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, my God, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your father, as it is this day. I tell you, there's two more verses to read this. Oh, Lord have mercy. Can we just go on, Dr. Scott? We read 18, and let's read 19 and 20 will be the entire chapter of the eighth chapter of Deuteronomy. That's in the Old Testament. That is the last book. Moses wrote these five books from Genesis to this here. But let's read. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods. So the other gods are out there. The other gods are out there. Those are the devil's imps. And they're out there to tell you that you did it yourself. God didn't help you do anything. I was watching TBN tonight, and the man was on there, and he said a woman prayed. She had no food, and she was praying for the Lord to give her some food. And they said there was a man listening, and he was atheist. He didn't believe in God. So he went and bought her some food and left it on her door. And when she came out and found the food, she began to thank God for the food. She said, God, thank you for the food. Thank you for answering my prayer. I bless your name for it. And the man came and knocked upon her door and said, the food that you got, God didn't give it to you. I heard you. So I went to the store and bought you the food because God doesn't exist. He wouldn't do something like that. If he did exist, he wouldn't give you any food. He's not real. And the man gave her the food. So the woman looked at the man and she said, God, I thank you for the food and I thank you for allowing the devil to bring it to me. Oh, bless his name. I love the Lord and I won't take it back because he's been so good to you. God will make the devil bless you if you trust him that way. But don't forget him because you got a little wealth now, silver and gold, a little money in the bank, a house. He blessed you with a house and you got a vehicle and all of those things, but now you don't need him. You can't even go to his house and worship and lift up your voice with other children of God that's blessing his name. You say, it's okay, I can stay home because I can bless God right here in my house. But he said, forget not the assembling of yourself together. In unity, there is strength. No one man or woman has all the strength that they need to make this journey. So when we come together as one, then the strength of God becomes even mightier in us. So don't forget God. I don't care who you are. Don't forget God. You're going to need him. Take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. You're going to need him. Oh, yes, you are. You're going to need him. I don't care how high you think you are, but no matter how high you get, you're going to still be looking up to him because you can't get up there with him by being that way. But if you would humble yourself, he'll come down to meet you. Oh, God, I love Jesus and I won't take it back. Then it said, then it shall be if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods with an S, small G-O-D, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. That's the penalty. That was 19, verse 20, and I'm closing. This is the last verse. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. May the Lord God add a blessing to the reading of his word, that he sanctify the ears that it fall upon. God, do not let your word fall on stony ground. Someone needed to know tonight that they cannot forget God. I don't care how blessed you may be, but you cannot forget God because God has kept you in your wilderness, and your garment did not fail you, neither did your feet swell. Honey, that preaches by itself. God wouldn't even let their feet swell. Oh, God, and every one of us, I believe, that's up in age, knows something about feet swelling. I used to ride in the truck with my husband, and I tell you, just from south from Florida to New York, I was swollen when I got out of the truck. I was completely swollen. But I thank God for a bath and the bed. And I got in the bed, and when I woke up, my feet and legs were all back to normal. But God didn't in the will. Oh, God, I love your word. Dr. Scott, I am completely excited. Oh, in my stomach, it is bubbling. It's like a well of water where the Spirit of God is just, I feel it bubbling on the inside of my stomach. The Word of God, the anointing, that God was so powerful and so precious, and He loved them in the wilderness, even though they were murmuring and complaining, that He didn't even let their garments wear out and their feet didn't swell. Oh my God, who would not want a God like this on their side? Who would want to forget a God like this? God preserved their clothes and wouldn't let their feet swell. In the name of the Father, oh God, oh Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we say amen, and it is so. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Let the church say,